Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me.
She
DTF.
She tell me she
DTF. I heard she DTF.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lord, I'm a bad.
Welcome to DTF, the greatest sex education comedy, sometimes game show, currently podcast in the known universe. Hello, I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Zimmery.
And I am your resident sexuality comedian, Daryl Charles.
There we go. That's the right title this whole time.
I'm a sexuality comedian. Nice. Yeah.
I'm going to get you a little placard for your desk.
Yep. Daryl Charles, sexuality comedian. Now I have to go get business cards or one of those ones with the QR code or the RFID. Yeah, one of those.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to have fancy business cards that were condoms. And then WordPress took my website down. So my business cards were useless. But they were still useful as condoms.
Yeah, just saying. There's that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. Welcome everybody. Welcome to the show. We are back as a podcast and we're trying to work on more live dates for you. We do have a live show coming up in March as part of the Crossroads Comedy Festival. But if you're new to the show, we've been around for a while, so we are back on our bullshit.
Yeah, and thank you for being with us through the iterations and today, right now, in your ears, as you do something that I hope gets you at least a little bit of a sexual charge.
Yeah. I like it when people tell me that they listen to this, that they're very, like, you know, buttoned up job. And so, like, secretly in their ears, they're doing something subversive. So for all of y'all who are taking extra long walks to the water cooler...
Yeah, stick it to the man. Poop on company time.
Yes, this is for you.
Yeah, that's the one thing about fucking working for yourself is company time is sorely missed.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid for laying in bed, but but I'll still do it. I'm gonna still lay in bed when I want to.
Right. I mean, that's the one thing. Yeah, I can lay in bed all day. No one's giving me anything for it besides guff. But I can, and I've worked very hard to get there.
Yep. I worked very hard to be this lazy.
Exactly.
All right. Shall we get to our first regular segment?
Yes. It's time for the fucking news.
All right. So our first piece of fucking news. This is a good thing in the space of a bad thing, basically. but so as we all know, Roe v. Wade was overturned by a series of credibly accused serial harassers and sexual assaulters in the Supreme Court.
And people who lied on the interview.
Yeah, in their confirmation hearings where they're like, oh, this is settled law. And then the moment they got in, they're like, JK.
It was settled law. Come on now, it was. It was settled until I got hired.
So now abortion rights in the U.S. are sort of turned over to the states. And in order to counteract that, activists in individual states are like putting it on as a constitutional amendment, as a proposed constitutional amendment. So recently, Michigan did one to put it into the state constitution that abortions are enshrined as a right. And now Ohio is next up on the docket. So they did the first part of it, which is just bringing it to the state attorney general. And then after that, there's like a variety of steps. But it is possible that by the end of the year, voters will actually finally get to weigh in on their rights to have abortion. And I think what's really great about it is they can make the verbiage exactly what they want. So it's up to the point of viability that the state would not be able to infringe on an individual and a doctor's like choices about abortion, which I think is rad, because right now it's a super extremist position in Ohio. It's like a 6-week ban that's been going back and forth in the court, but it's like, in 6 weeks, people usually don't even know they're pregnant, much less have come to a place where they can like do anything about it. So this would be much better for everyone if this passes, and it could also again set precedent for all the other states.
Totally. And that's the thing, right? Like, you know, as much as the Supreme Court sucks, what also sucks is that we left it to the judiciary, right? Like these sorts of things, you know, you can codify them into law. We have a system of checks and balances. That's not what I'm here to talk about. If you need that help, you should have been paying attention in school. And then there's also the internet. You can go look things up. You know, the Smithsonian's free, right? For everybody.
Which is amazing. I do love
it. Isn't
that.
It? Isn't
That's
that something?
Really great. I wish all museums were free.
You know, all museums are free if you tell them you're a student.
I'm a student of life.
I'm a student. Where at? At the school. Excuse me. Yeah, but like we could encode this into law and enshrine the ability for one to have say with their doctor over their life and body. And so that's the next step for these activists. And it's like, you know, lick your wounds. Yeah, they got one over on us. Yeah, not enough people voted in 2016, which is part of why we all got here. But because too many young people voted in 2008. Anyway, you know, the justice is long and winding, but this is now the next step, right? These individual states will have their drafts up. And what's nice is as one state does it, the other ones learn, right? We can fix this language so that we don't run back into this the next time. Man, yeah, the next time that the circumstances that led us here happen again, because that's probably going to happen. Like, you know,
yeah, this is a template for how to battle this nationwide. I mean, it is just incredibly stupid that this is, it's such an incredible waste of resources, but that we're having to battle to get our own rights back. But this is mm-hmm. so critical because, like, Ohio's a big state, not only politically in the US, but also like in the middle of the country, you know? And yeah. like, there are a lot of places where just geographically, it's really hard to get access to abortion care. And like, if you get a big ass state, like a Texas, like a Pennsylvania, right. like one of those kind of places, that's a huge amount of people who are affected. And I think it's really important to note that this is, I mean, obviously bodily autonomy is at the philosophical core of this, but this is just healthcare. This is healthcare. Yeah. And I think one of the things I read about this week that really was fascinating is, you know, the Duggar family, they're like,
yeah, they're baby.
Famous for having a bunch of children.
I have no problem being happy at the misfortune of terrible people. Well, so please continue.
Stuff. Yeah. So,
I'm going to say things that are going to be very upsetting to some. And here's the thing. I don't care.
So they've had a lot of different things happen across yeah. this family, including revelations that some of them are sexually abusive, which just honestly statistically happens if you have enough people.
And statistically happens by relatives.
Oh, yes.
And family friends. Stranger danger is not a thing.
Close-knit religious circles, it's especially bad. But recently, mm-hmm. one of the Duggar family members, I believe her name is Jessica, she revealed that she had a miscarriage. And it you know, yeah. is in an article in People where she's talking about this experience. And they gently slide in the fact that when she realized that her fetus was not going to survive, that she went to the hospital for a D&C procedure mm-hmm. because it would be safer for her health to have mm-hmm. the fetus removed rather than trying to just pass it at home, which is right. a very casual way to say one of the Duggars, one of the loudest anti-abortion rights families. Activist families, right. Had an abortion and is not even yes. blinking about it.
Yes.
Like, this what? Is healthcare, y'all.
Like, what? And that's something.
Everybody needs access to it. Everyone she had a- does.
And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, I follow smart people on Twitter as much as I can, and they were all equally dismayed at how many people would yell at them that when they brought up this fucking hypocrisy that, like, she didn't have an abortion, she had a miscarriage. And it was like, yeah, you fucking idiot. She had the same procedure you would have if you needed a fetus gone. There are so many reasons that a fetus shouldn't be in a human being. And one of them is that the fetus is not viable. Another one is that the person hosting the fetus wants to sleep past 10 for the rest of their life. That's another reason, just as good as far as Daryl Charles is concerned. You can hear me talk more about it when you hear my plugs. But yeah, like, you know, there you go. That you ooh, it's the same fucking thing with Clarence Thomas when he did the whole Obergefell thing that turned back Roe v. Wade. It was like the logic behind it also would undo Loving v. Virginia, which is the case that made interracial marriage okay, right? And it's like, yeah, you fucking idiot, you're removing rights for people because you think they don't deserve them, but this game only leads one way, and that's to people losing the rights to fucking live and thrive in whatever ramshackle society we were able to keep together.
And if people aren't familiar, Clarence Thomas is notoriously in an interracial marriage. So
yes, to a lady who helped fucking January 6 people. Yes, but also, you know, yeah.
But yeah, so the way that Obergefell v. Hodges, which allows for same-sex marriage, is threatens all marriage rights, because basically now, like, civil liberties are just sort of back on the table, and that's really what the revoking of Roe v. Wade did, is just like, we are back at the place where you no longer have individual freedom over what happens to you. And that's kind of a big deal. So it's like abortion.
It would be nice if that was federally enshrined.
Yeah. So abortion rights are just one way in which this is being maintained. So like anything that erodes your ability to make a choice with your doctor about what's going to happen to your body, that has repercussions elsewhere. That's like not just abortion. So like anybody who's on the fence about abortion, but like believes in personal freedom, should fall very cleanly on the one side. Like
it's libertarians just like, should be showing up in droves. Yeah,
should be. That's the big old should, but
they should be showing up in droves, but they're gonna be like, no, it's by personal responsibility. If you have sex, then I'm jealous because no one wants to fuck me. It's like, that part.
But this is, so shout out to these Ohio activists, and I hope that all of the other states where these rights have been infringed upon, you're able to gather the labor and the energy and the resources to get this on your constitutional ballot and then actually bring it to the vote, because I think that's a really critical component, is that whenever we do surveys of Americans, what we find is the vast majority of people are in favor of abortion rights either all of the time or most of the time. And like, when it comes to the state of viability, like before that, I mean, reasonable people disagree on things, but like no state should be having these ridiculous bans that are before like 2 or 3 months, when you're basically just like ejecting a blob of goo out of a person. Like, I think people don't know what like an embryo looks like. Like, I think they get this perspective because of all these billboards where it's basically just like a
if you drive through Ohio, you will see these billboards.
Yeah, it's like a live human child just curled up in a fetal position in a uterus. But the reality is it's like a blob.
It's come mostly for a very long time. For a very long time.
And people don't get sex ed, so they don't know.
Right.
And they just, all you see is the propaganda. And so it's like, oh no, it's got fingernails. And it's like, yeah, but it doesn't really have like the ability to survive. You know, it doesn't have like enough organs though. Like it might have fingernails. I don't know if that's true at that point, but like it probably doesn't have like a spleen. So I'd say that the spleen is more important than the fingernails.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that I don't care. I'm not having any kids. The fucking person who's having the kid should be the one to determine if fingernails is a deal breaker for them.
Yes.
It's not on me. I can understand an argument when it's like the male part of this fucking thing, what their say is, sure, have that fucking discussion. But as far as some random pregnancy, look, man, I'm the liquor prices should be down given how hard people are tough on fucking pregnancies. Like, should be less liquor being bought, so that should mean it's cheaper for me. That's the only way I care about somebody else's fucking pregnancy. Does it make liquor cheaper for Daryl Charles?
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah, you heard it here first.
once the baby's born, once the baby's born, then I have a vested interest in fucking society being good, which is why I want this person to be properly taken care of and raised and fucking educated correctly, right? But before that, I don't give a fuck. I'm not, I ain't losing no sleep. Ain't nobody telling Daryl run to Walmart because you're hungry.
All right. Again, you heard it here first, folks. So on that note, related to fertility and procreation and all those kind of things, here's our next piece of fucking news.
Ah, yes.
So this one is an interesting one. Daryl, you found this guy. The studies on the length of penises, we have data on this for going back almost 30 years, and the average penis size has grown 24% in the last 29 years. And that's really interesting for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is it is not equally distributed across the world. Asian men and European men have seen like a pretty significant rise. North American men have actually found a decline. Yeah. And I looked at the data, I was like, y'all only started counting African dicks in like 2015. So they don't have a lot of information.
Isn't that wild how that works? I feel like there's a story back there that you can't tell in Florida. The funny thing about that is like they think that the European penises have gotten better because one of the ideas is that nutrition has helped lengthen these dicks, and that's also why North American penises have shrank, because we are too nutriented and obesity and the ill effects of too much food have led to a softening and a shortening of it's like external penis.
Nobody knows why this is happening. There's just a lot of theories, but like the biggest one is probably just like health and nutrition are connected to growth in general. So you'd be taller, you'd be like stronger, like all those kind of things. But then conversely, if you have too much adipose tissue, the length of your penis is actually reduced because you've got skin in the way. And other things that people have suggested included like chemicals that were being exposed to, puberty's happening earlier.
Yeah, there's too much steroids in the cows. That's what they said when I was young.
Yeah, it could be in the water. Like, we're exposed to a lot of chemicals. On top of that, there's other theories that are really interesting. My favorite one was the guy that was like, it could be all the online porn because people are getting more erections. He's a urologist. Yeah. He's the head of urology. He's not just some guy. But he was like, yeah, more erections might lead to,
bigger and stronger ones.
Yeah, use it or lose it kind of thing. So it's like, you know, you exercise and it's a stronger muscle. But it's just about like the corpus cavernosa, like filling up with blood more efficiently. You get more efficient erections. And so maybe more erections means stronger erections, which means longer erections. So that's fun.
Yeah, but other research, not the same study, but they've shown that sperm count and testosterone levels are falling. Yeah. So it's a bunch of dicks that aren't going to be good for making babies. And that's where that's the end game, baby. This is how I win. This is how I win.
How do you win? Tell me more.
Oh, less people having kids. I don't think kids are. Yeah. But longer dicks, I guess. I don't know how that helps me out. But, sometimes you want to walk with the big dogs.
Well, it's also interesting because it's like we should all keep this within perspective. Like, how long are we talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the average went from 4.8 inches to 6 inches. So, and that is the average worldwide. So,
right. It's a 24% increase over 30 years, which is alarming when you think about that, right? Like, that's a lot. Like, almost a third bigger is a lot over 20 years.
But, or 30 years, but.
Over 30 years. But yeah, that is a lot when you think about it that way. But
to have a human physiological change that dramatic in the span of like a generation?
Yeah.
Wild.
Right? You know what that means? A lot of high school students talking to their teachers, wild nowadays. I'm going to need you to sit down. If you're a little dick ass, don't shut up. I never said that in high school, and I should have.
Yeah. You're going to invent a time machine just to go back to say that.
Just to go back and spread the rumor. Yo, all our teachers got little ass dicks because they was drinking regular milk. Drinking regular milk.
As opposed to like oat milk?
No. As opposed to the 80s milk that was optimized thanks to Reagan getting rid of the fucking FDA.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, another round of everyone's favorite internet game. Tie something back to the Reagan administration.
It's always bad.
It's most bad things. It's a very fun game to play. If you haven't heard it or seen it, Google it. There's a whole podcast about it. I don't know the name of it. But yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. Notoriously only good at like public speaking, and that was temporarily. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God don't like ugly.
Okay. What I do love about Reagan stories is when we get to talk about Nancy Reagan being like amazing at head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, that's like the best thing I've ever heard about her.
Yeah, the NR stands for no regurgitation if you smell what the rock is cooking.
Mm-hmm. So,
epiglottis of the gods.
Nancy.
Throat goat Reagan.
Yeah. So an interesting connection here is penis length is not usually associated with
sexual pleasure
in the same way that like girth is. So right. It's a complicated thing about partners' preferences in penis size, but generally when people are describing preference for larger, they're usually not describing length. It's more likely to be girth anyway. Which actually leads us to our next fucking news story. And that has to do with, this isn't like a brand new piece of information. It's based on a article that was published in Psychology Today. And it's just about what data we have on how people become desirous, how arousal works. This is a Psychology Today article by Dr. Tasha Sater. And it's just in the mindful relationships section, and it was just posted recently, and I found it really interesting and posted it on the Sex with Timory Facebook page, and it generated a really interesting conversation. But one of the biggest discrepancies in long-term relationships is sexual desire. One partner wants to have sex like much more frequently than the other. And part of this is a lot of opposite sex pairings have different models for how they become desirous. So the most common way for men to experience desire, about 75% of men indicate that they have spontaneous desire, which means that they have interest in sex.
You're just chilling one day. And then it's like, hey, don't you remember titties? Yeah, I do. You want to think about anything else right now? No.
Yeah. So the idea there is that like you don't need to have any particular like stimulus to have sexual interest and thoughts. And then
intrusive thoughts.
And then women are more likely, about 70% of women are more likely to have responsive desire, which means that you're just like going about your day. But if somebody erotically stimulates you, either through physical touch or you see some sort of erotic, content or something like that, you come across that, you might experience desire as a response to that content. And so that discord where the vast majority of men are having it spontaneously and the vast majority of women are having it responsively, and all of the world is built around how men experience things, and most of sexual research has been around men as the default. And so there's a lot of women who think that there's something wrong with them they can become sexually aroused and then become desirous, but like if that's not what's happening, then they may feel like they're broken or something. But the biggest predictor of like female sexual dysfunction is how long she's been in her relationship. That is a predictive factor. So the longer a relationship you're in, the higher likelihood of some sort of sexual dysfunction because of, honestly, miscommunications about things like this.
Yeah. Where,
people aren't speaking openly about what they need to get turned on. So like for a woman who's experiencing lack of desire, there could be a medical problem. There could be a psychological issue underlying, like some kind of anxiety. There could be body image issues. But the biggest factor is just stress, because for someone to become sexually aroused in a responsive way, the best predictor is you want to have a low stress situation and then apply sexual stimulation on top of that. And that's why vacation sex is the best.
That's yes, very much so. That's why people will prescribe that. Go somewhere else. Just get a hotel room. Fucking in Motel 6 as a quick stop gap. So it'd be like, hey, we are a couple not interested in fucking other people, but we're not fucking. What can we do?
So if you're experiencing this in your relationship, this is information to just consider, like, how does this apply to you? So
yeah, and everybody's different. Everybody is different. But the problem becomes when you find that, like, yeah, all of the literature is saying you're supposed to be one way and it doesn't quite work for you that way. Right. So just, yeah, it's not just a grain of salt. Here's a body of evidence that shows that not everybody works on some, like, you know, I'm on the internet and I just so happen to trip into private mode and my list of links, right? Like, it doesn't work that way for everybody. And if you're going to be in a relationship with someone, you should probably spend some time figuring out how they get aroused. If you're gonna be, especially if you're the sole source of sexual engagement for this person, you should probably invested in how they get sexually aroused. Yeah,
we each need to do that exploration for ourselves too, to understand, like, what is my method? What does it take for me? Because, like, that, it's not one size fits all. And we're saying these things like 75%, 70%, but that's not everybody either. So like, if you know how you work, that's going to be really helpful to just, like, take notice of when you feel desire and, like, when does it come naturally and when does it not? And I think that's really helpful because it's you can know this data, but, like, if your partner is part of that 30% or whatever, like, that's fine too. Like, you just need to figure out you're on your own and then also together.
Yeah. This is another reason why I always, my ears perk up when I hear some, you know, random man on the internet be like, you got to get them young so that they're impressionable. And it's like, one, yikes. two, no. I can't disagree more. I want somebody who is seasoned. I want someone who knows what they like. Mm-hmm. I want someone who has their own thoughts and opinions on the way things should go, because learning about people is the fun part, right? To me, Daryl Charles, but, like, learning about people is the fun part. And I can't learn about you if you don't know about yourself, right? Like, tell me what it is that you need from me. We can explore together. Let's fucking, you know, I'll yes and all goddamn day. But, like, I need to yes something before I can yes and it, right? So don't show up with, like, I don't even know how my things work. It's like, yeah, then I'm sorry. This is, you are not tall enough to ride this ride. I don't have that kind of time. Because I'm also very good at pleasing myself. So,
well, the other thing is that's not sustainable either too. Cause, like, I mean, there's different approaches to sex, right? And somebody might really like wanting to teach somebody and wanting to take charge, and they might enjoy that dynamic mutually. But if you get together when one person's much more experienced than the other, it is very possible, especially if it's an age difference, that the younger person will then start to learn more and then realize that they actually want more things in a wider variety than can be provided by the current dynamic. And so one of the problems with going after young partners is that they get older and then you might get your ass left because they're like, yeah, this was a good starter. No, thanks for hanging out with me until I could go to the bar. But now I can go to the bar. So
yeah.
And I want more stuff.
the movie Her. Everybody, that's what you quote tweet that.
She
outgrew him and decided to start talking to everyone else. It was pretty fucking funny. Speaking of everyone else, let's get to our next regular scheduled segment. We're here to help.
Yay!
Yeah, so given our heady talk about penis length and vaginal moistness, let's talk about how to set the mood, everybody. You know, maybe you want to get some sex from a person who has a responsive sexual desire cycle. What are some things you can do to make your partner excited by the time it is time to remove clothes and avoid eye contact? Well, yeah, one, don't avoid eye contact. But no, seriously, you know, I like to think of it like, think of the five senses, right? Like, actually, remember you gave a massage class on
Yeah, I teach
the
erotic massage workshops, yeah.
Yeah, the erotic massage workshops. And one of the things you mentioned was, yeah, the five senses, and think about how those things can be used to help, right? So yeah, when it comes to sights, right? You know, a little dab of do ya can help. So, you know, a slightly lewd picture in the middle of the day may be a thing that helps somebody.
Like some sexting?
Yeah, yeah, like some sexting, just a quick snapshot real fast in the middle of the day. Yeah. Just, hey, thinking of you, can't wait to see you later. Yeah, throw on some lingerie, right? If you have some. Not only can you wear lingerie just so that the person you want to have sex with can see you in a sexy way, but so you can see yourself in a sexy way and feel that those clothes on you and feel sexy. Even in, you know, in at a time when you wouldn't, right? What's that? That sight. Then sound, right? What can you do for sound?
You can
I don't
set
know.
Music. I mean, this this is why I love the ability to, I can't say it out loud because it'll happen, but I'm going to say, okay, giant company.
Right.
Play music that will turn us on. So.
All seeing eye. Right, exactly. Yeah. All seeing eye. Play me some sexy tunes, right? And yeah, you know, if you're not sure, yeah, these playlists are always there. You can be like something sexy, romance, right? I would say like Al Green. Most of his songs have to do with romance and they're kind of bouncy. You know, I wouldn't necessarily go straight to Sam Cooke because you might play A Change Gonna Come, and my word, wonderful song, not a boner maker.
I mean, depends on how much you're listening to the words, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a long time coming. That's tantra. Touch, again, the clothes thing is also a good one. Have some casual touch throughout the day. Is a nice way to reinforce this, you know, sensuality, right? A touch of shoulder, hold a hand, you know, fix hair, grooming. Both yourself and your partner throughout the day can help. What did I say? Oh,
yeah, it's like the really casual small stuff that really adds up. And I think about when you're early in a relationship and how impactful those little tiny grazes are. And
yeah.
Just those itty bitty moments of coming in contact that are really electric. And that stuff can still work later. And I think that the longer you're with somebody, the less you have those kind of touch.
Mm-hmm.
So being intentional about that can be huge.
Yep.
And being mindful that we're not just playing grab ass while someone is carrying something up the stairs.
You know? Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you want to be considerate of that. But like, if you haven't been a grab assy person, get a little grab assy. It doesn't have to be crazy. Just, you know, my wife says this all the time. She's like, there is no reason for a man to put his hand on the lower back of a woman. And it's like, that's very true. But if this is a person to whom you have some implied consent, put a hand on the small of their back. It's a very intimate place to touch someone where no one is typically touched.
And conversely, if you're a guy, do not ever fucking do that as you're walking through a room unless you would like to get an elbow directly to the nose because that's what you deserve.
Yes.
Because that is the same level of intimate touch.
Yes. That is the super extreme caveat, right? But when there's implied consent with this person, yeah, these small kind of touches, right? Just lets people know that you are It's just sensual. It's sensual. It can build romance. Another thing, you know, throw a drink in when you do dinner, right? Figure out a fancy drink to go along with your dinner. It's just another way to just, you know, set a mood, make it a little fun, add a little dizziness to the night, you know, help you get that responsive sexual cycle going.
There's also just like, you know, setting your scenario, like your location as well. Like, you know, there's like old school data that we kind of are not paying attention to. Like, I know I don't have a TV in my bedroom, but like if you have your phone in your bedroom, it's really not different in terms
of
the distraction and like that kind of thing. There's a, you know, there's been data for a long time that like couples who have a TV in their bedroom are just less likely or have less sex. And they, you know, like there's no way to prove what direction it is. Maybe they have the TV in the bedroom because they prefer to watch TV over having sex. What's up to them? But yeah, if you want to create a like a fuck sanctum, make a room that's for sleeping and fucking, you know, and
be intentional about it.
Yeah,
or when it is time to fuck, right? Like put on a sensual movie. Right. Like don't just watch the fucking Avengers, put on Secretary or.
Okay. I mean, there's been some moments in the Avengers. I'm not going to act like that's not going to.
Well, that's true. Just, you know, sun's coming down, buddy. You know, might send something else up. I don't know. Yeah. Do that delightful hand drape across the palm and then the back of the hand. Who knows? Whatever it is that would be sensual for you. For me, hey, look, there's a scene in Clerks 2 that is just great. Rosario Dawson dancing on the roof of whatever the fucking burger place was. So yeah, you know, put on a nice movie, something that's sensual, you know, throw away your inner critic and put on something smutty. It doesn't have to be porn if you don't want to look at porn, right? You can, that's actually what some of the good Cinemax movies are. It's just sensual things and a lot of people walking around in very thin fabrics. You know, same thing goes for music and same thing goes for candles, right? Change the lighting in the area to make it a little more
good lighting. Yeah.
Make it a little more ethereal. See some shadows, something that, you know, makes it harder to see the face, but easier to see the curves.
Wow. Hey. Okay.
You know, but it's harder to see the face just because, you know, some people feel sexier when they can't like make direct eye contact. Some people like direct eye contact. It depends on you. But yeah, there are just some ideas that should help you, you know, convince the person who you're fucking to fuck.
Yay. That seems like a good place to go to our next regular segments, which is fucking idiot, fucking brilliant. Where we render judgments. This is a very judgmental zone.
Yes.
Not a judgment-free, very judgmental.
Remove judgments from when you're fucking. Bring them back for fucking idiot, fucking brilliant.
Yes. So the fucking idiot story this week is the fucking idiot story of the last several months, really, but we're gonna keep talking about it as long as they keep trying to make life difficult for little trans kids. We're talking about how gender affirming treatments for kids keep getting banned. There are like 6 states now that have wasted valuable legislative time making laws just to hurt little trans kids because they don't understand how gender affirming surgery works. They don't understand that minors are not getting surgery, that they're after months and months and months of therapeutic treatment and discussion with a team of professionals. Usually they undergo something like a puberty blocker so that they don't have to go through an initial puberty to then undo it when they're adults to go
surgically
through gender-affirming treatments. Yeah. So this is really what we're talking about is suicide prevention, and Republicans are voting against suicide prevention. Because they don't actually care about any of these subjects. This is all they can think about to rile up their voting base.
And right. And it's, and you know, it's one thing to say like, oh, here are the opinions of two very liberal people in a, in very liberal places, but you know, the other part about being a liberal is you actually give a shit about what experts think. And this is what all medical, not all, obviously the world's big and you can pay somebody to have an opinion, but most, and when I say most, I mean like we talking 80% at the very least, medical professionals do believe that gender affirming,
it's even
science,
like that, like
to
push for it, like when they're talking about the, you know, you make an article where you're like, let's talk to experts on both sides. When you find a medical doctor who is going on the record and saying that gender affirming care is somehow bad, that is probably someone who, that's their entire job. They don't actually treat patients. They probably just get paid to go around and say that because they were like a foot doctor and then they realized that this would make more money. That is what we're talking about. This is closer to climate science in terms of
the consensus.
Anybody who actually works in pediatrics, in, and especially if they work in the field of like gender clinics or whatever, this is like not, this is not up for debate, generally speaking. This is one of those things where it's like, if somebody is an individual doctor who has a problem with this, it's not because of their professional expertise. It's because they study something else. They're like a shoulder doctor and they're transphobic. You know?
Right. And they're getting paid to show up and be the one voice because they can't find people who actually deal with this population, who've actually done the research, who go to conferences on this stuff. They can't find those people to tell you they shouldn't be doing it because they all agree that these hormone blockers are just hormone blockers. They will block hormones that are going to be produced. As soon as you get off those hormone blockers, those hormones will kick back in and it'll just happen later. It's totally fine. It's not a thing that's going to, you know, hurt a person. I mean, you know, I love this and hate this, right? Like every scientist will tell you, you know, you need long longitudinal studies to be able to see if there are real circumstances, you know, that may arise because of these things over and over, over a course of years in a variety of bodies. So a medical professional wouldn't tell you that there's zero risk, but they will tell you like- that
right. You might end up shorter, you know, things like
you're
that.
Right.
Like there are actual ramifications, but if we're talking about a population that is very prone to suicidal ideation and attempts to end their own life, when we're talking about gender affirming surgery, or not even surgery, just like treatment in general, we're balancing a few inches of height and like the possibility that there could be some like growth stunting versus they literally take their own lives. And I'll take a short king any day, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, take that, Randy. What the fuck is the guy who did Randy Newman? Yeah, take that.
Okay.
Take that, Randy Newman.
Yeah. So yeah, there's like six states where governors have already signed these sort of things into law, even just recently. Like most of this is very recent because Republicans just found out about trans people. But
it's so
South
funny.
Dakota,
yeah.
Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Tennessee and Utah, they've all signed these in. Florida has recently done its own stuff. And then there's like federal judges that have had to stop bans from taking place in a few spots. But there are like 24 states that are actively in the process of going after this. And I think the worst part of this is the number of people affected is so small. And that doesn't mean it's not an issue. It is an issue.
No.
It's the whole world to those people. But it's like to spend legislative energy and resources on just bullying these incredibly small number of kids is so mean.
Yeah.
It's so mean.
The cruelty is the point. Like it's cruel because it's like, you know, what are these people doing to you that makes you get up every day and want to, you know, keep them from existing? And yeah, it just blows, man. You know, an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere, and that's why it's impingent. Is that the word? Impungent? Anyway, it's important. How about that, Daryl?
Like,
how about that? Yeah, you, if you don't, you, whatever. It's why it's important that you know, you stand up and don't let the people around you just randomly disparage groups that you're not a part of. Right? Like that's where it's important. And when people say, what can I do? The thing is, what you can do is make your shitty uncle act better at Thanksgiving. Like, that's what you can do. And also just educate
on these things. Because they're going around acting like we're lopping off penises of kids. And that's that's actually not the case here. That's not what we're talking about. In fact,
and it never has been.
Yeah, if you have a problem with that, I mean, you can take it up with, you know, circumcision, because, like, that is actually cutting parts off of penises. But that's not what they're going after. What they're going after is, like, treatment and hormone blockers and stuff like that. And generally people are not actually getting any sort of surgery until they're legal adults. And
treatment also, is talking to a professional and buying a very tight bra or
getting binders and stuff like that.
Getting binders. You know. Yeah. Just something that's going to keep them fangs down.
Letting people identify by a name and a pronoun at school. That's going to make them want to get up in the morning and stuff like that. That costs you nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then meanwhile, there's, like, all of these kids who are currently undergoing treatment. And when they pass these laws, it's like, well, now what happens to them? Can they continue since they already were? Or is it, like, up in the air? So there's, like, all these kids where it's just, like, they are thriving and surviving, and you're going to take it away from them, and you're going to call the bill, like, the help, not harm, which is what they did in Florida. And it's, like, it's so dystopian and Orwellian, and it's nonsense because – literally, they're operating from a place of not even knowing how this works and not thinking through the logistics of it. And it's just, it's all for sound bites for people who don't have any skin in this game whatsoever. It's infuriating. So we're just going to keep talking about it until they stop.
And call them fucking idiots.
The kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And the call them fucking idiots. And, you know, you're an idiot. And it's fine that you're an idiot. It's not fine that... you have the ability to impact lives. It's just like, fun side note, I was talking with some comedians, and one of them was like, here's an unpopular opinion. I don't think Bob Marley was good at reggae.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, cool. He was like, do you agree? I was like, no, I don't agree. I was like, what, do you like reggae music? He was like, oh, I don't really listen to it. I was like, exactly. Exactly. You are totally fine to have your terrible opinion. I just don't care about your opinion on reggae. You don't listen to the music. So of who gives a shit what you think about fucking Bob Marley? You still should vote. You still should have the right to vote. You should still be able to drive a car. You should be able to walk at, barring other reasons. Like, you should have all the rights that a citizen gets. I don't give a shit about your opinion on reggae. And if you ever bring up reggae in front of me again, I'm going to talk to you worse than I would talk to a 2-year-old. Because a 2-year-old actually can benefit from me treating them like an adult.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, you can have your shitty opinion, but when you have your shitty uninformed opinion, I can't wait to talk to you in a way that I know is going to be offensive to you.
It's really interesting because it's like I have so much empathy for just if you get a one-on-one conversation with somebody and actually like, did you know that all of these things that you are hearing are like just not technically true. And it's really difficult because it's when somebody has an entire worldview tied up in a belief, you press them on the facts, the odds are very good that they're actually going to double down because that's just how human cognition works. We hate being challenged, especially when it feels like it's really central to who we are. But the thing is like, I think there are a lot of very reasonable people who've just never heard the information because again, there's just so few sources of correct information. And I have empathy for just like, if I heard, they're lopping off kids like body parts. Yeah, no, I don't want that either, but that's not what's happening. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had too many conversations with people and then watch them double down later on with other groups of people that, it's poisoned me as a well. And I'm fine with that.
It's tough.
You know, not everybody's worth my time.
Yeah, you gotta fight. You gotta choose your battles.
Yeah.
So here's a battle that is going well.
Yay.
Go to fucking brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And Pennsylvania is actually doing some pretty cool stuff. So two things in sexual health that are great in Pennsylvania. One of them is that in Delaware County, if you would like some free condoms, you can get a bunch of them just like straight up mailed to you. You can get up to 10 free condoms discreetly delivered to your house for free. It's in response to the fact that syphilis rates in Delaware County went up from 71 in 2020 to 113 in 2021. And there are some cases of, you know, antibiotic resistant gonorrhea. So in Delaware County, better known as Delco, hey, get yourself some condoms sent to you for free. And
you can also pick them up at a couple different places.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You can fill out an online order form, and there's five different condom options, including the internal condom, and you can get lubricant too.
Yes. So yeah, that's good. Especially when we think about last week, where we our fucking idiot was with Mississippi for being terrible and letting these sorts of diseases run rampant in infants because they're born with them, not because of whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a completely preventable illness, and that's why. And the,
right.
Yeah, that's why it's like, let's just do these things that completely will. So, you know, the condoms don't prevent every STI.
No.
And they're all things are subject to failure because, like, humans are using them. Right. But condoms are really, really effective at preventing a lot of STIs, and syphilis is a good example of it.
Yes. So,
it can also help prevent pregnancy if you're trying to do that, too. So, condoms are great.
Right.
And then one more other great story in Pennsylvania that... this month, a new law went into effect that makes it easier for partners to get treatment when one has an STI. So if like one person goes into the doctor and gets a diagnosis and gets a treatment for a treatable STI, the other partners don't necessarily have to then also go to the doctor. The prescribing physician can then give a prescription to that person without having seen them. So it just saves time.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it makes it more likely that they're going to get treated. There's so many barriers to people making it to the doctor, not the least of which is just like the time and the access and all that kind of stuff. So this approach, which is called expedited partner therapy, if you have a diagnosis of an STI, you can get a prescription for your sex partner, and then you can just have it filled anonymously, or you can have your partner pick it up or whatever. And like, that's not going to be the end of the story, but that does just take away one bit of barrier to access.
Another barrier, right? Exactly. It's removing the barrier to access. And, you know, sure, there's probably going to have to be a conversation had.
No,
on top of, hey, I got a thing. You should probably, you probably have it too. Also, if the previous idea was that we were the only people putting our parts in each other, then where did this thing come from? That's a whole different conversation. But now you can have that conversation along with a prescription slip. And that's what's important.
That's huge. No, that's huge. I mean, so those conversations are difficult. And I don't know how many people listening have had to have those conversations. But when you find out from someone, you're like, so I found out that I have gonorrhea, chlamydia, whatever the case may be. The responsible thing to do is to tell the other people that you have exposed. And it's really, really helpful because they may not have symptoms, but there may be some sort of long-term consequence. And if they're not getting regular health screenings, it may not get caught. And you could be the reason that somebody has like is infertile later or has some sort of like more serious infection, because a lot of STIs don't show any visible symptoms, and you may not know that you have it. So it's really, really helpful to just tell people. And then if you hear that information, to receive it in the spirit that it was given, which is I am telling you not because I want to hurt you, but because I want you to have all the information. And so when someone tells you this, like receiving it and being like, okay, thank you for giving me that information, because it would have been worse if you hadn't. And then the next step is, okay, what do you do about it? You get screened and then potentially treated. But this just saves one more step. So it's like, I have this bad information to to give you. This is like frustrating news to hear, but I've already taken this step that will help you. So at least now you
there's good news about, and then there's bad news.
Yeah.
Which news do you want first? Give me the good news. Good news is you don't have to go to the doctor. What? What's the bad news? All right. Now listen.
Yeah. That is exactly. Yeah.
Good news. I got you a prescription. Oh, baby, that's so nice. I told you I've been not been able to read next to the lamp. Oh, it's not prescription lenses. Here's the bad news, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's part of what happens. That's the risk of being sexually active with other people.
Yeah. Just one of those things. Again, yeah, you know.
It happens.
It's a possibility. Yeah. There are ways to increase and decrease the possibility, but nothing is perfect. Sorry.
Not a thing, not a person.
Sometimes you just have to deal with you get not five out of five dentists can't agree. I don't know how you would think that, you know, we could get regular society to just all be in accord.
But this is a huge move. And it's like one of those things where it's like, legislators, look at you doing something useful. Nice. That's a change that is going to make lives better. So I am really appreciative of all of the folks who pushed for that law and the fact that it passed. That is great news. That is a sign that sometimes people can listen to reason and make changes accordingly.
Sometimes good things can come from government.
But
it's important that you stay on their necks so that, you know, with the next breath, they aren't disabling your rights.
Get involved. If nothing else, get involved.
Get involved. Call somebody. Tell them that, like, you will make it your life's work that they never get elected again. Watch they be like, well, what do you need for this to not happen? Right. Have a block party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Good neighbors.
That's a good note to end on, which takes us to just our last bit, which is like where you can see more of us. So we have an upcoming live show as part of Crossroads Comedy Festival, and that's
the Clowns Comedy Festival.
We are going to be on March 31st, and we've got some amazing guests on that show. We've got comedian Rachel Fogletto and burlesque MC Celine Rose, and they are both hilarious and ridiculous people, so that should be fun. And all that information is on our social medias, including our brand new Instagram
and Twitter. DT Fun Hour on all of those things. Follow, like, and subscribe. But I don't know. We'll continue the rollouts as they go. But where can people find you, Dr. Timmery?
Oh, well, they can find me at drtimmery.com, and that's drtimmery.com. And that's where you can find links to the stories we talked about. You can find other related sexuality news. You can find all of my events, including we've got Get You a Babe Who Can Do Both. We've got one coming up in Richmond, Virginia, and we've got one coming up in Philadelphia. And that's the show where burlesque performers give a TED Talk, and then they perform burlesque, proving that you can be both a sexy and a competent adult. So that's one of the fun things that's coming up soon. Also,
it's such a good show.
It's one of my favorites. And then also Slut Church, which is our regularly recurring metal BDSM burlesque show. That one is normally on Tuesday nights, but we've got two dates coming up that are actually on the weekend for the folks who can't do a Tuesday. We've got one coming up at Saints and Sinners, which is actually a play space. It is an adults only private member place where you can pay for a membership to come to this party. And we will be performing, and we also will be having a big anniversary show at Taboo in May. So all of that stuff's on drtimmery.com, and you can also follow me on all the social medias. On Instagram, I'm Timba Ling Ling, and that is a long story because somebody already took the names that I wanted on Instagram and then never posted again after 2015. But that's fine.
Tough.
It's fine. Where can they find out more about you, comedian Daryl Charles?
Yeah, you can go to darrylcomedy.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L. The rest, if you don't know how to spell, It's all right. I'll catch you. Yeah, I'll be everywhere, man. You know, check out, there's a calendar page. You could look at that. I will be in Baltimore at the Lou Room on April 7th. I will be in Philadelphia intermittently. But as far as I'm concerned, I will be at Weeding Out the Stoned, which is a lovely cannabis-based comedy show. At Helium Comedy Club on, I don't know which day, if it's the 22nd or the 23rd. I think it's the 22nd. And, you know, perhaps I'll be at the Punchline soon. Listen, keep looking at my calendar. I update that as soon as I can. And yeah, my album Black Gentrifier is also for sale and stream. So do that as well.
It's great.
I like it. I just put up a new joke from there. My Uncanny Valley joke is on my YouTube. I made a little video because my brother said he wanted it. Oh. And so I was like, of course, why not? Who cares?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for supporting us for almost 10 Flim Flammin' years. Thank you to Flirt Vonnegut.
Yes.
Our producer and editor, for hopefully sliding in some Al Green during the We're Here to help.
Hey, right? Love and happiness.
That'd be fun. Yeah, so check out our social medias, and thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you. And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.